The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
Now, the construction industry, as we've heard, has started looking at mental health. We've heard on the show before about the hospitality industry tackling mental health. Shane Craddock is a performance coach. Shane, do you think business people are getting their act together and actually finding that mindfulness and actually looking after their mental health?
Hi, Anya. Good to be here. I think it's incredible that the construction industry are just doing something like that. I mean, I've got a couple of clients in the construction sector, and again, they're on that as well. But just to be in this time where that kind of conversation is happening, that kind of support is happening, it's just incredible. And then you're talking about Pieta House earlier on, you know, and the turnout for that this morning. Again, it just shows you there's an amazing momentum. But I still think a lot of it is on the surface, and we need to go deeper. And core to that, I think, is actually the leaders looking after themselves better. Because I think when leaders understand not just the PR benefits, this is the cynical side of me, the PR benefits of looking at this area, but actually the business benefits for them and their lives and then the employees in the business. I think we're at an interesting point in our history where the model for business, I think, has been tested, and I think there's great opportunity to reinvent how business works.
Mm-hmm. So the opportunity is there. Unfortunately, a lot of the analysis and research shows, you know, from the likes of Harvest Business Review, that CEOs, business leaders, they spend 79% of their weekend days working, 70% of their holiday days working, and that they spend an average of 3 hours a day with their family. So home is something like a pit stop. It's where they go to sleep.
Yeah. Well, that study, which was from last summer, would have shown that one of the biggest challenges, the number one challenge for all CEOs is time. Mm-hmm. So that's what they have the least of, and they're always drawn on time, so like they just don't have enough. And the danger is, you know, that you get out of sync with your other half of your life. So again, as you say, you use your home for a pit stop in an unconstructive way, where it's just like you're passing ships in the night with your kids, which are maybe your life partner, and maybe ultimately not the best thing for your overall health, let alone your mental health. So that's funny. Just when I was saying to you, I was coming in from Wicklow this morning, I was just thinking, you know, I'm doing this about 20 years and I've seen massive change, positive change in this area. But I was a few years into my career and I was working with somebody, and we had a very specific business target, and we achieved the target, which was financial. And I remember saying to the person, I said, "Are you happy?" And they said, "No." Mm-hmm. And I said, "Okay, why?" And they said, "Because it looks like I'm going to be having a divorce."
And
I can tell you, I was probably as upset as they were. And when we looked at it, realized, you talked earlier on about the tech and the unintended consequences. Mm-hmm. There's an unintended consequence for the pursuit of success that I think is a price that you don't have to pay if you're fully aware of what you're doing. And so self-awareness, you know, is an increasing skill for all leaders, but it is very practical. It's not like sometimes it's seen as an intangible, soft, wishy-washy thing. It's very practical when you apply it in a certain context, in a certain way. Now, luckily with that person, we were able to recover the situation, and there was big lessons learned. But what I saw with the unintended consequences were, A, impact on core relationship nearly gone. B, impact on kids, mm-hmm. you know, massive impact. And the third thing was their health. So I kind of swore to myself at that point, I wasn't going to let that happen again. Now, it's still a continuous challenge. But what I see is, while we have amazing research coming through in the last 10 years in particular around neuroscience, mindfulness, all the benefits around health and relationships, I don't see it coming through because, you know, people are busier than ever. They feel like they have less time than ever, and they feel like they have less control. So it's a big challenge, but there's great opportunity if we give it time.
And so the unintended consequences there, your health, divorce, and just burnout. And unfortunately, it constantly strikes me, we've got very bad examples in the business world. You think of Elon Musk, for example. Yeah. He talks about working up to 100 hours a week, pulling all-nighters. He has been quoted before saying, "Nobody ever changed the world in 40 hours a week." So is part of the problem here is there's no standout leaders leading the way for us?
I think there are leaders leading the way, actually, but I think that they're probably not in the public domain. You know, Elon Musk is very media-worthy and probably an outlier in terms of what he's doing. You know, seems quite creative. I think he could challenge a lot of what he's doing on a business level. I was fortunate enough to meet his coach actually a few years ago, 3 years ago. And, you know, suffice to say, I knew at that point that the guy was probably going to have some serious physical, mental challenges in the way that the coach was talking to me about him. So, you know, but he's an outlier. I think that, you know, the majority of people out there are good leaders. They want to do the right thing. But it's very often, you know, if you always do what you always did, you'll always get what you always got. So you have to look at what are you doing. And it's not enough to kind of, I think it's great to have these wellness courses coming in and different things about mindfulness, brilliant. But what are you doing as a leader? you know, how good an example are you for somebody who says, well, actually, I want to have a great life. And the future of business, I think, is where people will go to be inspired and actually trained, not just to get results for the business, but also to have a great life.
And is it generational, though? We know with millennials, they want to be happy in work, happy at work. And so are millennial leaders different? And those that maybe are of a different generation, are they setting an example that you don't always have to be on?
Yes and no. I think they are asking good questions, like every generation that does come along. They're asking for more meaning, more purpose, probably more balance, which is all good. But sure, look, who doesn't want to be happy in work? Do you want to be happy in work, Anya?
Of course.
I certainly do. So it doesn't matter what age you are, you want to be happy in work. But a lot of the time it's down to education and then actually application. You know, so I think, you know, I was saying to you before, attending in the information, that I've called this kind of HCR syndrome. For leaders, where the H is health, the C is children, and R is relationships. I'm very focused on my clients and getting business results. But overall, if you're not at your best, and your health is key to that, so are your kids if you have them, and then your core life relationships, they're all factors that affect your overall state of mind. And your state overall is what drives, even you were talking earlier on to the guy with innovation. You know, he's talking about reframing. It's very difficult to reframe and rethink in terms of innovation if your mind is stressed, if you're not at your best. So I encourage my clients, number one, is look at yourself like a professional athlete. If we're talking to you like a golfer and I said, well, look, okay, I'm not going to the gym, I'm not looking after my nutrition and I'm not getting great sleep and I'm not really getting any attention to my personal life. You know, you kind of be asking a few questions. So why wouldn't a business leader do the same thing?
And time is our scarcest resource. So how do you, as a business leader, on the one hand, you've got the pressures, you want your business to be sustainable, you want to keep people in jobs, and yet, on the other hand, lead by example, have a culture where it's 8 hours, hard graft, that you're not working longer hours, you're simply being smart with your time?
Yeah. Well, I don't think the time is the issue. I think it's a lack of prioritization. And if you're not clear about where you're going, and really more importantly, why you're going there, you're going to get dragged in all sorts of directions and waste your time. Most people I know when I meet them first, you know, even the best and the smartest, they have blind spots. And they are wasting time in areas that really are not going to give them any return on the personal level or on the business level. So I think that's, you know, it's about prioritization and clarity around a vision.
So ruthless prioritization is one tip. Give me a couple of other quick tips.
Eject baggage. And what I mean by that is you sometimes have to look at who the people you're spending time with, perhaps not the best. And also sometimes we carry on to things and habits, meetings, things that we go to. That guy that I mentioned in terms of the possible divorce, when we looked at it, it wasn't the business time. He was very invested in the business. But what the problem was, the stuff outside the business, these dinners, lunches, summits, events, all that took away from time with the family. And that was a big one.
That's great. Shane Craddock, thank you for those tips and advice for everyone.